Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it truly is a blessing to worship you this morning, and as our life is full of much traveling, it's always a comfort to know that the body of Christ is one all around the world, and wherever we are, we can worship with fellow believers and know that we are family. So, as George already introduced, our names are Nathan and Emily Willems, and our four daughters, Maddie, Bryn, Annika, and Myla, they're all pretty close together. No, none of them are twins, even though it may look like it, but they're all very close in age, ranging from ages 7 to almost 3. So, our life is full and busy. Like George says, it keeps things lively around the home. Just to give you a bit more background on ourselves, I was born in Guatemala as a missionary kid. And my parents were working with Wycliffe Bible Translators, and I lived there until I was 8 years old, living both in Guatemala City and in the village. And for me, it was really a blessing to get to grow up not only in a Christian home and being taught about Jesus and his love and to come to know him as my Savior at an early age, but also just seeing God's heart for missions and experiencing that ministry to people who haven't had a chance to hear of him before. And so I would say that it was at a very young age God began stirring in my heart a desire to be involved in missions. My wife Emily, a very different life, but more normal for you around here. She grew up on a farm in southern Saskatchewan her whole life, but when she was young there was a visiting missionary speaker, and as she heard this lady speak, she also sensed God tugging on her heart, and that maybe one day she would also serve in missions. And so we're excited that after many years of training and preparation, and that we are now finally ready to go and begin service overseas. And I just want to give you a bit of an overview as we are going into missionary aviation, what that process has looked like for us. We'll just keep things interesting here. So, just to explain what it's taken to get to this point, it's been a 14-year process, beginning with 3 years of Bible school. And so I went to Bible school in southern Saskatchewan at Miller College of the Bible, and just discovered that Jeremy and I have a mutual friend, Andy Rapko, who was also at the same Bible school. And so then after Bible school, I went off to college to learn aircraft maintenance. After that time, Emily and I were married, and we continued the process together. We got a job up in northern Manitoba in Flin Flon, where I worked, gaining experience as both an aircraft mechanic and also did my flight training and flying experience. And so after that point, we were ready to begin the missionary training. And we moved to Ontario for a year of missionary training with the mission, with Ethnos Canada. And the final portion was down in Arizona, which I believe you are familiar with, as George and Irene have been coming and serving there and helping. And so, as of the end of June this year, I completed all the training needed, and we're in the final stage of preparing to go. So a big purpose of our training center down there in Arizona is training and preparing missionary pilots to serve overseas in areas of the world where it's very difficult for the missionaries to get into the villages. And so part of my helicopter training, they wanted me to get additional experience on top of getting the license. And so part of that was getting my commercial helicopter rating as well as an instructor rating. And then when the next pilot came along, I was able to then teach the next pilot in the helicopter. And then at the same time, I was also continuing to be instructed and learning the advanced techniques of flying in the mountains. And so the video showed was taken during my advanced helicopter training. And you can see how small of a spot it takes to land a helicopter. Where previously they needed to build runways for airplanes, now with the helicopter, it's exciting how many more villages we can access, how many more people can be brought the good news of Christ. And it's exciting how God is allowing to use this tool to further his kingdom. And so, like I mentioned, it was the end of June, early July, when we moved back home to Saskatchewan for this final stage of preparing to go and raising the support needed to serve overseas. And so this picture, it's when we arrived back in Saskatchewan and we're settling into a basement suite. And as we were cleaning and unpacking and settling in, I have to admit we were starting to feel a little bit discouraged about all this work. For me, it's the flying is very exciting, and the thought of what we're going to do is all very exciting, but sometimes the everyday can be a little bit cumbersome. And I started to think about Abraham and his travels and the journey that God called Abraham on. And for us, settling into this suite, we knew it was only temporary, that we would very soon be moving on to again pack up and move overseas and then unpack, for live in a place for 2 years and then pack and move again, and our life will be full of this. And so thinking about Abraham, I did some study into the scriptures about his life and journey. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 is when the Lord calls Abraham on this journey. And the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." And so after God calls Abram at the time, we see his response in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, which says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." For me, I find it amazing how readily willing Abraham was to just trust God and depart, even though he didn't know where he was going. We've felt God leading us to serve in Indonesia, and we at least know where we're going, and there's comfort in knowing that. And it's even more amazing that he departed on this journey without a destination in mind. And then as I continued reading in Genesis 12, it says that Abraham was 75 years old when he went on this journey. Now that's hard to imagine. It's a little easier for us when we're younger and more able to adapt and travel, but Abraham did this, and along with families and servants and cattle, it was quite a journey. I did some looking at a map to see what Abraham's journey would have looked like, and did some measuring and found that he started out in the land of Ur and initially traveled to Haran. And just looking on Google Maps and measuring our current roads, it says that that trip would be 1,200 kilometers. So for us, that would be pretty easy. We could jump in a vehicle and travel that in a day. Maybe if it's our family, we'd have 4 hours more of potty stops, and it might take 2 days, but it's very doable. But to think of what it was like back in those days when they journeyed on foot and they took with them their herds, their sheep and cattle and families, it's said that in those times a day's journey would be considered to be about 35 kilometers. If you're just traveling one day, that's a distance they could travel. But to do that consecutively for 1,200 kilometers, that would take at least 35 days. And more realistically, I imagine they would have camped along the way and put the flock out to the pasture, and it would have taken at least several months, if not a year, to complete this journey. All right. And so after Abraham's family had traveled to Haran, they lived there until his father died, and then he continued the journey. And measuring the distance, it would have been about another 1,000 kilometers from Haran to Canaan. And so another huge undertaking for them to make this journey. And when they arrived in Canaan, Genesis 12, verse 7 tells us, "The Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.'" I can only imagine that must have been a huge sigh of relief. He's just completed these two long journeys, and finally, "I'm in the land that the Lord has given me. Now I can settle down, build a house, we're done traveling." And if you read further, it says that actually there was a famine in the land, and they weren't able to stay. They had to continue on to Egypt to find food. And so Abraham continued to Egypt, only another 785 kilometers. Arrived in Egypt and wasn't able to stay there, and journeyed back to Canaan, another 785 kilometers. This all starts to make our life sound pretty easy compared to all the travels that Abraham did. And even more amazing, the attitude that Abraham had in it all of, "By faith, trusting God and simply obeying. If we look back at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 to 10, it gives us the reason for Abraham's motivation. Why did he obey God like this? And it says, "By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." So Abraham was willing to travel, live in tents, live as a foreigner, and in these temporary dwellings, all because he had an eternal perspective. He had his sights fixed on heaven as his true home, and he was willing to endure some hardships, knowing that God was in control. And so this was really an encouragement to us to think about the challenges that we'll face in our life, in our ministry, some of the discouragements, that if we keep our focus on heaven and on the big plan of God's call for us, it'll help us continue going through even the hard things. When we are tempted to feel sorry for ourselves as we are packing and traveling and unpacking again, we remember that it is for the sake of the gospel, so that people who have never had an opportunity to hear the gospel will have a chance to hear it and be saved. And it makes it all worthwhile. And this is a good reminder for all of us, as I'm sure each one of you go through various challenges in daily life, various hardships and sorrows, just to remember that having a heavenly perspective, it reminds us that God is in control, and he is with us through the hardships, through the difficult times, and it encourages us to share the love of Christ with those around us, those we interact with at work and in the community. So as we have been encouraged by this, I just pray that the Lord would continue to give you an eternal perspective, to keep your sights on heaven, that we wouldn't get so focused on what we face here on earth, but rather be knowing our Savior and living for him. So I want to share with you a few stories from our co-workers overseas, just to give you a bigger picture of what we will be doing and how God is at work around the world. In this picture, this is what some churches look like in some of the villages, but this actually is not a church. This is a teaching house. This is from a village in Papua New Guinea where missionaries are just beginning to teach Bible lessons. And we received an update from this missionary family on August 16th. They wrote this: "While many of us are sending our kids back to school, the Kaje people of Papua New Guinea are starting classes as well. This is day two of them hearing God's talk, also known as the Bible, for the first time ever. A team of ethnos missionaries have been living amongst the people for 5 years in order to learn the language and culture, all in anticipation of this moment. The goal of a thriving church for every people takes time, and Lord willing, we will be there to help sustain them in the village for as long as it takes. Will you pray with us for the Kaje as they hear about who the true God is? Pray that the truth will penetrate their hearts, and that they would come to know their Savior." This is what it's all about. It's so exciting that right now these people are hearing God's word for the very first time. Until now, they have been living in darkness without hope. Just like George read earlier, those who have the Son have life, and those who do not have the Son do not have life. And these people groups who have never before heard the gospel, they've been living in darkness without life and eternally separated from God. And it's exciting that this particular village is being given an opportunity to know the Son and to have eternal life. But the missionaries face many hardships in their life there in these remote villages, and just simply traveling into and out of the villages can be extremely difficult. This is an example of a couple as they're hiking through the mountains. All their belongings they have to take with them on their backs, and it's a very challenging journey. There's no roads, there's no other access into their village, and it's very difficult, hard on their bodies, and it's a long process to teach God's word and start a church. Often it takes 20 years. First they have to learn the language, begin translating the Bible, they have to develop the Bible lessons, and they'll teach the people from creation all the way through the major Bible stories and teach them about Christ and what he's done for us, and then continue teaching through to the Old Testament And then they'll continue to disciple the new believers and establish a church and train church leaders. And so will this family be able to last for the long haul, the 20 years that it takes to establish a church, if this is how they're traveling into their village? It's very difficult. Another example from the region where we are headed. Some villages do have roads, but they don't look anything like what we would call a road here. This is maybe a little worse than the trail to the back pasture. In rainy season, the roads turn to mud and they get stuck and often break down. These missionaries are traveling with young families similar to ours, and it's very challenging and difficult for them. And so our goal is to, as we will be starting a new helicopter program in this region, is to help make their ministry more sustainable, to be able to deliver, fly them into the village, deliver all their supplies, and help them to be able to continue on with their ministry. So while I will not be directly a part of the Bible teaching and translation, but our goal is to help those who are doing that to, so that they can last for the long haul. I want to share with you another story of a family who is currently serving in the Philippines. They have faced extreme hardship traveling by outrigger boats on very dangerous seas and often very sick, seasick on every trip. Sometimes it takes them 2 weeks to get the boats from island to island, which meant they had lost all their fresh supplies that they were trying to bring in. During stormy times of the year, no boats were able to travel, and so any emergency would have left their family stranded on the island. They had been at the point of quitting for good because of the hardship and the risk. But thankfully, our team was able to send a helicopter and pilots out there, and they are now able to deliver this family to their front door when the tide is low and bring in all their supplies. And I recently got an update from this family as well, and this picture is showing as they've been doing the Bible teaching, they have begun to have people professing their faith in Christ and new believers, and this is what they wrote. 73, that's 72 more than we ever asked the Lord for, posted Vina LaRue. We always said that if just one gets saved, it will have been worth it. Philip and Vina LaRue just finished teaching the foundational Bible lessons in several locations around the isolated island where the Agutayan people live, and the response has been more than they could have ever imagined or hoped. Back in 2013, the barriers loomed large. For one, the people were not receptive to the LaRue family bringing the message from God. But that all changed when the typhoon Haiyan hit in 2013, and the island was practically wiped clean of everything but the people. It's exciting that as new believers are in these villages, that they're beginning to also catch God's heart for missions, and this gentleman who is sharing in his own language, he's saying how he is now a missionary to the neighboring villages, and he is able to get help from the helicopter to transport him to the next village over, and he's teaching God's word, and the church is continuing to grow as the churches multiply, and it's just so exciting to be a part of this work. And so I want to share with you more specifically where we are headed. We recently were able to purchase our tickets to go to Indonesia, and so this shows the route of where we'll be flying. On November 24th, we are preparing to get in the airline and fly across the ocean and begin life in Indonesia. And so our first task once we arrive there will be to learn the language. And it's very important that we become fluent in the language so that we can function well in life there and be involved in a local church and be a light for Christ among those we interact with. And knowing the language well will enable us to stay long term and, Lord willing, serve there for 20 or more years. And so we'll spend 2 years learning this language before we then move to another region. We'll move north to the island of Borneo, which is where we'll be starting a new helicopter flight program. They currently have no aircraft, and so the picture I showed of that van stuck in the mud, that's one of the missionary teams in this region who we will be supporting, and they've written that they're eager for us to come there and begin the flight program, and looking forward to the help that it will bring them there. And so the ministry there will be gathering the supplies. The missionaries will put in an order. We'll live in a city and we'll gather up all the supplies that they ask for, and then I'll load up the helicopter and fly out whatever they need. We'll also fly people out for medical emergencies. If someone gets sick or a broken bone, there's no medical help in the village, so we'd have to fly them out to a hospital. And also there's language consultants who I'll be flying in to help them as they're working on the Bible translation process. Translating the Bible is a very long and difficult process, and so thankfully there are experts who can help these missionaries along the way and come in and work alongside them periodically. And so as I come to a close, I want to share with you Romans 15, verses 20 to 21, where this is Paul speaking. "And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand." And this was Paul's mission as he went out on his missionary trips, and this also is our goal, to help bring the gospel to those who have never had an opportunity to hear before. And so we are excited to be able to be a part of this work, and we also want to give you an opportunity, if anyone here feels led to partner with us in this ministry and wants to be involved, we would love it if you would pray for us. We know we can't do this on our own or in our own strength. We rely on God and through the prayers of his people that we would have the strength to carry on through the various challenges that we'll face. And also, we live completely off the financial support of churches and individuals who partner with us. And so if the Lord gives you a desire to partner with us in that way and the ability to give, then we would love to have you join our team in that way. And if you're interested, we have more information on the back table. Also, if anyone wants to get the email updates, we send out a newsletter a couple times a year, just giving updates on where we're at. And if you'd like to get that, feel free to put your email address down there. And finally, maybe the Lord is challenging someone here to go, particularly the young people. I would encourage you, if you sense the Lord's tugging on your heart to serve him in missions, whether it's right here, right now, among your friends and people around you, whether it's going overseas to another country, I challenge you to follow God's call, and there's no better place to be than in the center of God's will. And there's so much need for more missionaries of any skill set you can imagine. You don't have to be a church planter or teacher. We need accountants, teachers, carpenters, mechanics. We need guest house managers and supply buyers. The list goes on. There are so many needs for more missionaries to serve overseas. And so I just want to thank you for this opportunity to share with you what the Lord is leading us through, the ministry that he has for us, and I just will close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I praise you that you are a great and loving God. Thank you that you created all people in your image so that we could know you and love you and live with you. And Lord, it's devastating to know that sin has separated us from you, and that there are many people around the world who do not have opportunity to know you. And thank you that your grace reaches out to all, and that you are giving more and more people opportunity to know you. And thank you for the fellowship of your church, and I pray that you would continue guiding our lives, that we would live for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.